On the night of his arrest, Jesus taught his disciples about the relationship they would have with him. Those who abide in his word and love would bear fruit, for apart from him, they could do nothing. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who abides in you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is this business with abide? If I'm quite honest with all of you, abide is one of those words I just cannot wrap my mind around. It's not one that I use in everyday language. In fact, it's probably not one I ever use except for reading today's gospel lesson in other places in the Bible. But abide, it's just one of those words that I can't seem to get a grasp of. And so I looked it up in the dictionary, and there's three definitions there, essentially alluding to first beginning with acceptance, a way of obeying. I think, if I remember correctly, the example was something the person abided by the judge's ruling. It also talks about a continuation, continuing with, as well as a remaining with. But when I take that definition and look and put it into our scripture, it still doesn't settle right with me, especially in the context of our passage. And so I looked in my theological dictionary, and out of five, only one of them had abide in it. And so I had to dig a little bit deeper. But theologically, when we think about the word abide and how Jesus is using it, abide has this nuance of permanence, this idea of sustainability. It can also be translated as to dwell with, to cling to or to hold on to, or to remain as one. So to abide is this idea of permanence. It's a dwelling with, clinging to, holding on, remaining as one. Abide is used a dozen times in our passage today in the few verses that follow. So there's something significant to this word. And in my unknowing and in my confusion, I was sucked into verse 6. "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Now, I don't know how that verse settles with you, but it makes me uncomfortable. It's a bit challenging. We hear all this beautiful language of Jesus abiding and this invitation to abide in him. And then it sounds like if we screw up, we will be tossed into fire. And in today's context, that most certainly is assimilated with hell. So if we screw up abiding to Christ, we're going to go to hell, is what comes to mind. But that's not what the text is saying here. There is so much more going on just before this that I think is worthy of pointing out. Because when Jesus starts talking, he says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." As I abide in you. See, Jesus abides in us first. Jesus meets us first, abiding in us, before we even have the option of abiding in him. When we look at the context of our passage here, this is a longer conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. It began with chapter 13 as Jesus was gathered in the upper room with his disciples, washing their feet, giving them a new commandment. Do as I have done for you, loving through service. And Jesus is having this conversation, preparing the disciples. As our little introit informed us, that this would be the night he would be betrayed. Jesus is about to be betrayed, and he's letting his disciple know what is about to come and how he will remain with them, even though he will not physically be present with them. When we look at the historical aspect of our text, this text is written in a time in the late first century when the believers in Christ were a bit razzled. They were rejected. They were cut off from society. They were rejects. See, Christ had died. There had been this expecting of his return within that first generation, and nothing. So what they felt was that everything they had been promised was essentially sham or not true. And the peoples of other traditions, whether it be the Roman Empire or the Jewish faith, were coming down upon them. And so these people too were feeling that abandonment, if you will. They're experiencing the absence of Christ. And it is to this which Jesus says, "As I abide in you." As I abide in you, what you're going through, what you're about to go through, I abide in you. This passage isn't about a threat for which if we screw up, we're going to burn in hell. No. This passage is about Jesus naming a truth, a bigger truth than that's beyond us. A truth apart from Jesus, we are but withered branches. A truth that says that when Christ abides in us always, that when we don't embrace that, we are but withered. We feel withered. We can't produce that life-giving fruit without Christ's presence. As Reverend Humphreys talked about last week, he talked about love and embracing that love of Christ. This, too, is what Jesus is pointing to in this text. Jesus is there for the disciples. Jesus is there for each and every one of us, no matter what. And so what does that look like for us in our day-to-day lives? A lot of times, at least for me anyways, when I hear this word abide, the things that come to mind are those pietistic-oriented practices that we partake in as Christians, meditating for a long time, spending a lot of time in devotion and prayer, those things that are deemed as holy, somehow lifted above others, other actions. And don't get me wrong, these are great practices in the church and ones that we are called to be disciplined to. But I believe there are so many more ways in which Christ abides in us and we abide in him. In the day-to-day matters. Because remember, Christ has abided in us first. I think of the woman who abides with her husband late in life, who has a serious illness, a cancer that cannot be cured, one that is going to be going to take him away sooner rather than later. But instead of being drowned in the sorrow, the despair, she remains faithful to him, taking every single day as a gift from God, basking and joying in that. And him experiencing the abiding love of Christ in and through her. Because remember, brothers and sisters, each and every one of us is named God's beloved child. We trust, we believe that Jesus dwells in each and every one of us. Therefore, Christ dwelling in her is Christ's presence for him. Being that calming presence in a time of stress and tribulations. Abiding, experiencing it through others, experiencing God's abiding grace in an unknown peace that just doesn't make sense. Also, abiding in Christ in and through the Lord's table. The wine, the grapes, the fruit of the vine, a gift from Jesus Christ himself to us that we partake in every single Sunday. A gift in which Jesus gives of himself to you and to me and all those that gather at this table around the world. From the beginning of time when Jesus gave us this meal to the end, we abide, Christ abides in us. This abiding is more than following a command or obeying something. Abiding is relational. First coming as a gift from God in Jesus Christ. An intimate relationship, just as intimate as a vine is with a branch, the image of our text today. One that produces rich fruit. So perhaps, brothers and sisters, this word abide isn't meant for me to be able to wrap around my mind, one to completely understand, but rather perhaps abide is something that is to be experienced. Something that we experience as we go through life in all our various seasons, moving forward, trusting in this promise, as I abide in you. Jesus abiding in you first. Jesus' permanence with you first. Jesus' stability with you first. Jesus dwelling in you, clinging to you. Jesus holding on to you first. Jesus remaining with each and every one of us. Amen.